God, as we look to reconnect, I pray in Jesus' name that you would protect us, that you would keep us safe and wise, that we would be able to encourage each other, that we would be able to hold each other accountable, that we would be able to share and celebrate together, teach each other, all the things that you would have us do, God. I pray that as we reconnect with you and reconnect with each other, that those connections would be strengthened and empowered by you, Lord. Open our ears to hear your word this morning and give our feet and hands strength to act in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so quick question. What's something that you've done a lot more of in the past 6 months? And by the way, if you're in the room, part of the orientation that that we miss is that I may be interacting with you in the room, so feel free to pretend like I'm a real person, right? Actually interact with me. I'll be looking at you and trying to make eye contact, and it really helps if you make eye contact back. I'll be looking at the camera too and making eye contact with you at home. It's nice if you just kind of stay stuck there. All right. Yes. And Barry. Yes. Thank you. Barry and Melissa are leading that fully online group. So he just chimed in. What's something that you've done a lot more of in the past 6 months? How many of you have spent a lot more time scrolling through social media? Anyone? Anyone? Yeah. This is the interactive part where you can show hands. Yeah. One. How about binging entire TV series? Yes, okay, yep, I know, yep. We got my family is definitely on board with that. How about online shopping? Any online shopping go on a lot more often in the last 6 months? Yeah, okay. What about spending time outdoors, getting outside? Yeah, that's a good healthy thing. What about crying yourself to sleep? Not any of that? Just one. Okay, all right. All right. These are the jokes, people. I know it's not so much of a joke if you actually have been, it's been in a lot of ways tough. And then something that has gone on in the last 6 months is there are certain things that we've probably done a lot more of, things that we've kind of binged on. And binge, I mean, it used to be a word that had fully negative connotations, and now we basically talk about that's how we take in a lot of our media is we binge. For my family, one of the things that we did a lot more of in the last 6 months is ordering out from restaurants. And one of my favorite things to order out from a restaurant is fish fry. And my strategy in ordering fish fry is they ask if you want a two-piece or a three-piece, and I tend to be so hungry by the time we order that I definitely go for the three-piece. I don't even ask Michelle what she wants. I get her the three-piece because hopefully what will happen is she'll get full after the first two, and then I will get a fourth piece. This is how my mind works. This is the strategy. And then, if possible, we'll swap out the fries for fried pickles or fried cheese curds. And if they don't have that option, if they can't swap that out, we'll just add them on top of the fries. So this, when I'm hungry, seems like the perfect plan. If you've ever been there with me, you know that you start getting through that, and it comes to a point where there's so much grease that you just can't anymore. I mean, I still do until I like feel sick, and then even thinking about fish fry for a couple hours after that just makes me feel sick inside. My body's just not designed to handle that much grease. It's not built for that. Even when I try to counteract it with the rye bread covered in butter, it doesn't balance it out. It's just continues to be a problem. Our minds, our hearts, our souls are nourished similar to how our bodies are nourished. And there are things that we can only handle so much of. And there are things that our minds and our hearts and our souls are designed to find nourishment from. That's what we need to reconnect with as we come into this new season. We are turning a corner where we've moved out of summer 2020. And isn't it time? Don't you feel like, yeah, we need to turn a corner here. We need to do something different. And for me, part of the difference is trading out some of those things that I've been putting in my life to find comfort or to kind of cope with what's been happening for the last 6 months, and to exchange those for things that are really, truly nourishing. It really is nice to have you guys here. I'm looking back at the Grunemann clan over here. Hey, Noella. Hi. Hi, Alistair. I can see you. Okay, they're ignoring me. That's all right. I know I'm putting you on the spot. It's a little bit smaller environment, so I can do that. Just a warning, if you're making a reservation, I may say hi to you. I wonder what you guys have done. I saw Rachel has played a lot more games. Have you guys done more games with the family? Yeah, over here? All right. So some of the things that we need to do, though, we need to turn off those things that are not nourishing and turn something else on. There's a passage in Lamentations, which is credited to the prophet Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That passage is one of the reasons that this church is named New Day, because God's compassions, his mercies are new, are fresh all the time. They never run out. So as we say, yes, it's time to turn a corner, what we find is we meet him right there. He is waiting for us to come back to him. He is waiting for us to reconnect with him. So if you can help me finish the sentence for me, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Isn't that weird how, like, we finish the sentence that way? How old is that song? And yet that's how we finish the sentence. 50 years old. Even though I just said Jeremiah was a prophet, we all know Jeremiah was a bullfrog. No, Jeremiah was a prophet. Around 600 BC, the people of God were going through a division between a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, and they had turned away from God, the God who delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. Well, generations passed, and they found their comfort, they found their satisfaction in things other than what God was providing. They created and worshiped false gods. They fell into the patterns of the people around them, the world around them. They followed the practices that God had said, don't do this, don't go this way. And Jeremiah was a prophet. And what that means is he gave the people words from God. And what he told them in Jeremiah chapter 2, starting in verse 12, he says, the heavens are shocked at such a thing and shrink back in horror and dismay, says the Lord. The heavens are shocked. For my people have done two evil things. Number one, they have abandoned me, the fountain of living water. And number two, they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. And we don't often use the word cistern, but this would be something that was designed, as is implied here, to hold water. So you would make a cistern so that you could hold water for a later time, so you could capture rainwater. But if you had cracks in the cistern, then you've got some commingling of what's outside the cistern with the water, and what you're probably going to end up with is something that is something that's stagnant, something that's diseased, something that, were you to drink from it, would probably make you sick. And even though when you were sick, you were thirsty for more, drinking more from that cistern would only make you sicker. Eating more of that fish fry would only ruin you. So God gives this picture to these people who have turned away from him and says, look, number one, you turn away from me and I'm a fountain of living water. The image that this would put in people's minds at this time would be pure, clear, cold water coming out from a rock, like a spring that, if you were to drink from it, would not have any disease, wouldn't have any disgusting impurities in it. It would be fresh and clean. And he says, you've turned away from me, even though I'm a fountain of living water. And instead, you've dug cisterns for yourself. So if you picture that image, over here, there's a rock with a fountain coming out of it, of pure, clean water. And then people have walked away from it, and they're digging in the dirt, and it's muddy, and it's disgusting, and they're getting sick from it. This is the image he puts in their minds. And this is an image that, for us, maybe describes some of what we've gone through at certain points in our life, maybe even in the last 6 months of our lives. I'm adjusting the camera a little bit because I just thought, you know, Heidi's probably not going to like, she's our interior designer, she's probably not going to like that cooler being featured so much. She's going to want me to show a little bit more of this. And you can see what the ceiling is out. It's a soft launch, people. We are still under construction, but gathering nonetheless, because we know what's important is to connect to God. So many of us feel like we have walked away from him. We've been trying to satisfy ourselves with so many different things. That includes me. I was good for a couple of months. I really felt like this is our time as a church. I'm feeling strong. I'm feeling good. And then I kind of stopped my daily Bible reading. And it kind of made a part-time job of being a Pokemon trainer. And never got paid. But it was kind of a comfort. Something that, you know, something to distract me from what was really going on. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I'm tired of all of it. It's time to do something nourishing. So even though God is not surprised by everything that's going on right now, it's interesting that he says to the kingdoms of his people in Jeremiah, the heavens are shocked at such a thing and shrink back in horror and dismay. It's not because God is surprised by what's going on. It's because he's dismayed that people would turn away from him. Jeremiah then, if we fast forward to chapter 6, we see that he does give us a path. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. You are at a crossroads. That's what I'm saying about right now, today, this time in history, this weekend, Sunday, September 13th, we are at a crossroads. And God instructs us, look around, ask for the old godly way, the ancient path, is how some translations put it. There is an ancient path. Follow that path, and you will find rest for your souls. We moved my son into his dorm room last weekend, and he's back here today. And healthy. Everything seems to be going fine. But when we were moving him in, we went to Target because we had to pick some stuff up for his dorm room. And as we're grabbing things that were on his list, I grabbed a couple boxes of Little Debbie's because I thought this is a perfect excuse for me to get them. So I threw them in, and I got a little bit, you know, Michelle scolded me a little bit. Aaron, this is not healthy. And I didn't say, but maybe she already knew, this isn't really for him. This is for me. So when we get back to the dorm room, I can have a nutty bar. But there comes a time where we've got to trade the Little Debbies for an apple. And my daughter went to an apple orchard, and tasting that apple fresh from the orchard, oh my goodness, it is so good and so beautiful and feels so nourishing. That's the kind of trade that we're looking at here. And it starts with step one to taking that ancient path. The most important thing we can do is open up your Bible. Whether you got physical Bible or you got a Bible app, about 1 in 5 Bible-believing disciples, Christians, people connected to a church and connected to God, about 1 in 5 read Scripture daily. 1 in 5. About 1 in 5 never read Scripture. So as I think about the number of people who are tuned in right now and the number of people in this room, I'm talking to some people who know the importance of reading Scripture daily, and I know I'm talking to some people who they just don't even know where to begin because you never do it. And I'm telling you, that is the most important thing for you to do. Now, the other 3 out of 5 are people who will read Scripture occasionally, like, you know, once a week or once a month. The instructions that God gave to Joshua, who we talked about a little bit last week, the instructions that he gave to him were, read this word of mine, these instructions of mine, daily, meditate upon them, memorize them. This is the ancient way. This is the path. It starts with Scripture. And what studies show is that someone who reads Scripture daily also is more likely to be praying regularly, also is more likely to be serving regularly, also is more likely to be connected to other disciples. There are actions that are part of this ancient path, this way of doing things that we call disciplines. That's part of being a disciple, right? Disciplines, things that you can do to connect to God and to connect to each other. Connection makers, an ancient path that we call disciplines that are the path for discipleship. So many of them hang on being in Scripture, first and foremost. Knowing God's Word. Making it a part of your daily life. So I want to encourage you to make that commitment. For me, when that slipped away this summer, I have people in my life who I sit down with and have accountability. And this summer, for these last few months, it's been our church chairman, Mike, who's watching right now. And Mike and I sat down together, or I don't know, we might have talked on the phone. He came over. We sat outside. We were talking. And one of the questions that we asked is, how are you taking in God's Word? How are you prioritizing that in your life? And I said, Mike, I got to be honest with you. That has slipped for me. And he said, okay, well, let's do something about it. Because admitting it is one thing. Actually doing something about it is another. And so we agreed, okay, let's do this. He said, I'm going to start reading Ephesians. I said, can I start reading it with you? So every day, we each, wherever we are, even when I was on vacation, where we read a chapter, and then we text each other, like one sentence or a couple of words from that chapter. And what that does is it keeps me accountable, because I know he's going to be watching for that text, and I'm watching for his. We're supporting each other in this. So make a decision and get someone else in on that, someone who can help hold you accountable, because otherwise it just slips away. We're talking about reconnecting to God, and he has designed us to reconnect to each other along the way. So the most important thing you can do is get into Scripture. If you've never done that before, I encourage you to start with the book of Mark. It is the shortest gospel. You can read it in one sitting, or I encourage you, split it up into chapters and find somebody else who will do that with you and just do a chapter a day. Get God's word into you. And what I found when I started doing that is promises from God came to me in his word at just the right time. There were instructions and passages in there that would help me see the world around me in a different way that I needed to see it. Get Scripture into your life every day. This is part of that reconnecting. This is part of that turning on that fountain of living water in your life, nourishing your soul, your heart, your mind. So get into God's word. Now, a warning. I have seen people who will use God's word for their own agendas. That they're listening to voices in the world. And a lot of times right now, it's political voices. And I'm talking to, you know, people on the left and people on the right. And those are the loudest voices. Those are the voices that they've been kind of marinating themselves in for a while. So when they step into Scripture, what they see is what they want to see based on what they've been hearing around them. Is this making sense? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So if they were to read the book of Jeremiah, they would read God's warnings to the people, and they would say, oh my gosh, this could be written to Governor Evers. This is a prophetic word for him. Or this could be written to President Trump. This is a prophetic word for him. God is talking about today and our current political climate. And it could be either side going, see, it's right here. But the problem with that is you've taken a lens that the world has given you, and you're looking at the Bible through that lens. That's a danger. That's not how we read Scripture. When you read Scripture, take those lenses off. Because what you need to do is go to God and say, God, give me a lens from your word that I can use to understand the world around me better, that I can use so that I can decipher what's true and what's false. Who's trying to fool me here? Who has an agenda that they want me to jump onto? We need to start with Scripture. So first of all, when you read Scripture, read it for who it was written for at the time. First of all, understand the context that it was written in. Okay, that's called observing. So first of all, observe. When you read Scripture, observe and think about how did the people who first heard this, how did they understand it? Make observations. And then after you've made some observations, then you can start to find Jesus in what is being said. Because all of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, is about God's plan to redeem his whole creation, including humanity, And the key of that whole plan is Jesus Christ. So everything we read in Scripture, in one way or another, points to him, points to Jesus. So first, make an observation. How would people at that time have understood this? And then second, think about what does this have to say about Jesus? How does this point to him? And then third, think about what God is saying to you in this passage. Because the temptation is for us to think about who else needs to hear this. Like, oh my goodness, this person needs to be corrected by this scripture. Think about what God is saying to you. He has a word for you to correct you, to encourage you, to show you a truth. Too often we look at Scripture and we use Scripture to justify ourselves. We twist it for our plans and our purposes. And this has gone on for thousands of years. Jesus even warns the Pharisees about it. You follow all the tiny rules about tithing, and then you don't support your own parents. You're justifying yourselves by your religiosity. We need to be careful of that when we look into Scripture. So choose the path, the ancient path, the path of discipleship that begins with God's word, and look at God's word with observations to understand the context, with an understanding of how it points to Jesus, and then with an open heart to what God wants to say to you in that passage of Scripture. What does he want you to obey? For some of us, a second point here that fits into this is fasting. That is an ancient path. That is a discipline. That is part of discipleship. And if you find yourself with those lenses where you're having a hard time looking at Scripture without seeing it through the lens that's been handed to you by the world, you may need to fast from some of those things. You may need to take a break from some of those voices. Now, am I saying that listening to Rachel Maddow is a sin, or listening to Sean Hannity is a sin? I know it's getting risky. I'm naming names here. It's getting wild. I'm not saying that doing either of those things is something that is sinful. I'm saying if there are voices that are louder than the voice of God in your life, you may need to take a break from them. You may need to take a break, just fast from them, cut them out. And we need to do more. I'm not just saying cut things out of your life. I'm not just saying turn that water off. You then have to fill it with something. I'm saying turn that water off so that you can fill it with truth from God's word, so that when you return to it, you can understand it with a biblical lens. I hope I'm making sense here. We need to fast from some things. I'm being fairly open about my Pokemon problem in the last couple of months. And on the last day of August, I realized I just need to take a break. It doesn't matter what streaks I have going or what raids I'm going to miss or what, you know what? It doesn't matter. I gotta take a break. Some of us have other things that we go to for comfort. It might be a substance like alcohol. It might be drugs. It might be something where you need some accountability in order to find relief from those things, or maybe something that's a lot more socially acceptable, like binging on TV shows or picking up your phone and seeing what's happening on social media every time there's a moment of quiet in your life. I'm saying turn those things off and fill those moments of quiet with truth from God's word. All right, so we've got scripture and we've got fasting. And the third thing I want to point out is prayer. As you're fasting, fill that time with prayer. The promise from God that we've been going over, and I know I asked it a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to keep hammering on this. I'm going to see if this group of people in the room is more ready to answer questions out loud than the first group I asked it to. There are two key questions that Paul helps us with in the book of Philippians to help drive us into prayer. Can anybody help me with one of those key questions? What's one of those key questions?
What are you thankful for?
Yeah. Thank God for everything he's done. Think about what you're thankful for. If you're wrestling with stress and anxiety right now, take time every day and think about, write down, share with somebody else, what are you thankful for? Because God is doing amazing things in your life, in your midst right now. What are you thankful for? What's the other question? What's stressing you out? Because Paul tells us, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Ask God for what you need. So if you're feeling stress, if you're feeling a need, again, write that down. Share that with somebody else and turn it from worry into prayer. And the promise is, as you pray about what you need and as you give thanks to God for everything he's done, he will put in you a peace that goes beyond anything that could be understood. This is the promise of God. If we're not capitalizing on that, what are we doing? Prayer isn't designed to be something that is inaccessible to you or that is super boring to you. Start with those key questions. Turn what you're thankful for and what's stressing you out into prayers to God and let him fill you with his peace. But sometimes we've got to cut some things out in order to make room for that. So we are at a crossroads. These kingdoms were at a crossroads, and I didn't read all of Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. There is a last phrase here. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. The Lord said, stop at the crossroads, look around, ask for the old godly way, the ancient path, and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. And the answer from people is no. That's not the road we want. So I know that I can make these suggestions, and people can nod their heads, and you can say, yes, that's a good idea, that's a good idea, and then do nothing about it. At this point, I want to like climb through the camera lens here and be in your living room, even though you're in your pajamas, and say, where is your Bible? Put it on your table right now. Open it up so that when you sit down, you read it. For me, I have my Bible on the dining room table so that in the morning when I wake up, I go grab a bowl of cereal, I sit down, and there's my Bible. And I read that chapter, and I text Mike, and I let him know I read it. And I start my day with nourishment from God's Word. You don't have to do it exactly like I do it, but by God, do something. We need it. We have to turn this corner. We've got to reconnect to God by reconnecting our feet to his path. We've got to experience the rest for our souls that he promises, the peace that goes beyond understanding. Isn't that what you want? He tells us how. Open up your Bible. Cut some things off from your life. Turn off those faucets so you can turn on the faucet of living water. Fast, pray, let's walk these paths together. And we're going to continue connecting. We're going to put that link up again for filling out a communication card to be in a small group, because it's important for us to encourage each other, for us to keep each other accountable. So this series, these next few weeks, are going to be about reconnecting to God and reconnecting to each other after the craziest 6 months that I've ever experienced. We're turning a corner. We're reconnecting. We're walking the ancient path. We're finding His peace, His rest from His promises. Let's pray. God, give us the strength to obey. I pray that we would not be like those people who heard your instructions to choose the ancient path, to choose discipleship, and they said, no, that's not what we want. I pray, God, that we would be a people who trust you, who find nourishment for our souls, who find peace, who find rest from you, from your promises, even in the midst of chaos and noise all around us. Let us hear clearly from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So glad you guys tuned in. So glad you were all here. Can we say a hello from everybody in the room? Hello, hey. All right. And if you feel safe coming in and being at a distance and masking in the next couple of weeks, you can go on our website and make a reservation to be in the ministry center and see what in the world is going on in this space over the next couple of weeks. Go in peace.